Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. If you thought we were done with the terrible jokes about the date, you were mistaken, because today happens to be Revenge of the Sixth. That usually happens if you spent a lot of time yesterday enthusiastically celebrating Drinco de Mayo. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But anyway, this might be the last of my terrible puns that have to do with the date, and I'm a little bit sad about it. What I am not sad about is my guest today. As you may know, it is Thursday, 6th of May, 2021. And with me today, because it is Thursday, we have Thursdays with Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Kelly. You should change the name of this podcast to Thursday's Pun. Or maybe daily punservations. I don't know, but you're really, I love a good pun every now and then, but enough is enough. All right. I'm here.
Well,
I'm here and I'm ready.
We did talk about it being Revenge of the Sixth. The other thing today happens to be is World Password Day, and World Password Day is, the first Thursday in May. Each year, it's an annual thing. It's been going on for a while. And so we're going to talk about it for a minute. To remind you about passwords and password managers, we will have more on this front soon, talking specifically about them and why they work. So stay tuned next week for an episode about that. And see, we do. Doesn't it sound like we plan this show ahead of time?
That's funny.
We're going to talk about that more next week. But what you need to know about World Password Day is that the point of it is to sort of highlight the need for passwords to be better than they are. And the first thing I would say about that is a thing that I personally have been trying to do, because for those who don't know, Mac Observer is not my only job. I have several. And my day job, the one that I do the most, with the most percentage of my day, is dedicated to my day job. And over at my day job, I help a lot of end users with their technology. Most of it's Apple. And one of the things I've tried to do when I talk to people at my day job about their own passwords is to stop calling them passwords and start calling them passphrases. Because if you say passphrase, it implies it needs to be more than one word. And if you're doing it more than one word, then it's just getting more secure. So if you use a sentence or a phrase, you know, Revenge of the Sixth, for example, you can put spaces in there, which is another form of character type, because there's letters and there's numbers and there's punctuation. And if you shuffle those around, that helps make your password more secure. So if you throw a random capital letter into one of those words, and maybe because it's Revenge of the Sixth, if you put 6th, now you have a number and you have uppercase letters and lowercase letters and punctuation all in there. And so that's a pretty secure password as passwords go. Now, it's not secure as my password, because that's a thing people would totally type. I'm sure if somebody was trying to guess my password, the first thing they would try is, may the force be with you. So don't make it something obviously tied to you, but if you make it something interesting that's easy to type, that also helps, because on mobile devices, particularly, I have noticed this, you don't always get an option to let your password manager fill something in, or it may be the first time you have to type something. So a thing that a lot of people do, I know, is if you have services that have to sync, those will be your passphrases that are a few words long. Maybe it's a short sentence. Because having to type that is a lot easier than typing a long random string of uppercase and lowercase characters with numbers and punctuation in the middle. That's a lot harder to parse, and it's a lot easier to get wrong. So if you just use a sentence like, may the force be with you, especially if you're a Star Trek fan, you can change something like that. Now, there's people who say that...
Wait, is the force a Star Trek thing now?
No, but that makes it very hard to tie to you. So that's what I mean. So,
I get it. It was misdirection.
Exactly. Oh. Yes. Just like, you will never guess that my password for my computer is live long and prosper, right? I mean, it's not.
No.
But that also makes a good phrase, because you put punctuation at the end of it and live long and prosper. If it's a place that will allow spaces as part of your character,
I was gonna say,
one of your characters, you're set.
Be careful with that. You said use spaces, but I've found that more often than not, you can't use spaces. But yeah. you can use underscores, which
yes.
look like spaces.
Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of... The spaces thing is getting better. I have come across fewer places that are unhappy about it. You can use them in your master password in 1Password. And so, like, all of this is to say, like, in 2021, I mean, this has been true for a long time, but particularly in 2021, especially as you're juggling, doing stuff at home, doing stuff at work, you've probably added technology to the mix, whether you have a Zoom account now you didn't used to have, or a Teams account you didn't used to have, or whatever, you know, video conferencing you're using, whatever stuff you're doing with your family, whatever. It's really nice to have a password manager for a bunch of reasons. And the first of them is then you don't have to remember your passwords anymore. You just, as evidenced by one of the oldest, 1Password, the whole point of their name is you only have to know 1Password. And behind that 1Password, all the rest of them are stored. Now, Dashlane.
Securely.
Securely. Dashlane is another one that's out there. LastPass is another one that's out there. Bitwarden has a password manager. These are all really great ways that you can sort of hand that bandwidth that your brain is not maybe not comfortable with, maybe not prepared for. Like, it's too much stuff to remember. I store everything in my password manager, and I have a 4-digit number of items in my my password vault. So.
Oh, I have over 2,000, but.
Well, it's a 4-digit number. I don't remember if I'm up to 2,000 or not.
Forever.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you can
highly recommend it.
You can buy one. There are password managers out there that are available. 1Password is available for subscription. It has some nice features, like there's a families plan, so you can put up to 5 people on it. You can share vaults with those other people. So if you live with another person and you need to share, like, the bill pay passwords and things like that, you can share those in a vault and have your own set of logins. They can have their own set of logins. LastPass, I believe, has a similar thing. Bitwarden has a similar thing. Dashlane is another one that has a similar one. What's important is not which password manager you choose. It's just important that you choose one. And let me tell you, a lot of people, I don't know if you've necessarily forgotten phone numbers, but being secure in the knowledge that all of the phone numbers are in your phone so you don't have to carry them in your brain anymore, whether you transferred that to an address book a long time ago, or whether that became something where you freed up some brain space, you know, recently with the purchase of a smartphone and adding that to your personal tech stack. This is the same sort of thing, like relieving your brain from having to remember all that stuff so you can think about other things. That would be great.
And last but not least, it saves you from having to have that little notebook with all of the passwords in it that's always within arm's reach of your computer. Which means whoever steals your computer will grab that too and have all your passwords.
Yeah. Or, so. Upgrade from the XYZ section of your address book. If you're that person, it's time. It's really just time to get them out of there. And like I said, free your brain space up for other things, like planning a trip. Maybe you get to go somewhere sometime. And if you want to go somewhere, Bob has some tips for you on doing exactly that.
Well, yes, this week's column was about traveling because, yay, I'm vaccinated. My wife's vaccinated. We went to visit our family in California, which we haven't been able to do in 14 months or something.
Max Vax is a glorious thing. Yes.
And they are vaccinated, so we could even hug. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized a couple things when I left that probably people need to be reminded about. I mean, I thought of them in time, but I might not have because it's been so long since I traveled. And the first is, if you want to listen to music or watch a movie or really enjoy any media, download it to your device before you take off for the airport. Because the one thing you can depend on when you travel is that there may or may not be reliable internet access where you happen to be at the moment, like especially in the air, at any price. You know, some people say,
whether it's free or not, it still may not be great. Yeah.
No, and you can pay for it on a plane if the plane has Wi-Fi And if it does, there's no guarantee that after you pay, it won't suck. I mean,
right.
Excuse me, but that's been the case more times than not. So
yeah, like I said, even if you pay for it, if you pay for it, it may not be a good experience. I've had that experience. So I can
and it's even
you.
Worse than that, because yeah. if you're in the air and you try to use that internet, it may block streaming. It certainly blocks mm-hmm. video streaming. Mm-hmm. The question about, you know, whether you could stream a podcast or music, maybe, maybe not, but I sure wouldn't want to depend on it for a 9-hour flight.
Mm-hmm.
And so the trick is, before you leave, think about what you want to take with you. For me, it's always a few books, mm-hmm. either audiobooks or ebooks. And I don't even bother selecting music to take with me because I've downloaded all the albums that I can't live without already to my phone. I don't want to be without them no matter where I go.
Right.
But for podcasts, I go and make sure that I've downloaded all the latest episodes of all the ones I like to listen to that I mm-hmm. haven't yet. All the audiobooks I might want to listen to, all the ebooks.
Mm-hmm.
And I make sure that they are stored on my device, whichever device it happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's my iPhone, but for video it would be my iPad. Mm-hmm. I just, before I leave, I make sure those things are there. And the thing is, you want to test this. Because you don't want to get on the plane for a 9-hour flight and go to watch your movie and have it say not available here. You know, you didn't download it. So you turn on airplane mode and try it. That's mm-hmm. that's the fast way to know. It's like if you turn on airplane mode, you're not connected to any network.
Right.
If the movie plays or the podcast plays, you're in good shape.
Then you're set.
If you skip this step, don't blame me when you're 5 minutes into your 8-hour flight.
And all of a sudden, nothing's working.
Or watch movies.
I have stashed music on my phone forever, partly because you didn't used to be able to stream it easily. And partly because it became a habit, because I have a lot of stuff that's not in iTunes. And so it's stuff I want to listen to that isn't there. But also, as people know, I live in Portland, Oregon. And back when we went places, a place I liked to go a lot was the Oregon coast. And there are stretches of that drive where there's no cell service at all. So even if I love Spotify or Apple Music or Pandora or whatever streaming music I want to listen to, there's about half an hour in there where it is a terrible / non-existent experience if you want to continue to listen to it. So it's really nice to have something local so that you can have a seamless experience of getting to listen to enjoyable music all the way there. So stashed music on my phone forever, but the thing that I'm interested in, because like you can set your podcatcher, whichever podcast app you use, you can set it up to automatically download episodes or have it stream them or whatever, and you can set it up ahead of time to make sure those things are local. I know a lot of people who were really excited when that became a choice where you could download them over the air, because like I work in an office building and the cell reception at my desk is crap. And so I can't stream anything. So now I have the option to download everything like while I'm out and about, you know, on the train, on the bus, driving in.
They do have good connectivity, not at your office.
Right, where I have connectivity because I'm like outdoors where there's a lot more coverage. And, you know, I work in this giant lead-lined box, apparently. So now at least I can listen to stuff.
It's a Faraday cage. They do that on purpose.
Well, sometimes yes. Otherwise, everyone would just sit at their desk and play Candy Crush, right? So the one that I thought was really interesting that you shared, because I do think it's a thing that doesn't get enough attention, is Libby. And Libby makes me very happy.
Me too. And that's why I wrote this column, because I thought about the old way before I discovered Libby.
Uh-huh.
Before I left for a trip, I'd like be spending probably 50 or 60 bucks on stuff to either listen to or read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd be audiobooks or ebooks.
Mm-hmm.
But I would buy, I still buy a lot of books. I still buy a lot of audiobooks and ebooks.
Mm-hmm.
But I read a lot, and I read a lot more than I can afford to buy. So Libby lets me take out books and audiobooks from my local public library,
mm-hmm.
ebooks and audiobooks, and lets me read them on my phone or iPad.
Mm-hmm.
for in my case, it's a 21 days for books and 14 days for audiobooks. Mm-hmm. It depends what library you're using. Mm-hmm. Most cities' public libraries are affiliated with Libby in this system. Yeah. And it's generally, we'll let you check stuff out.
Yeah, generally Libby is the ebook front end for your library, whoever it is.
The go-to, right. The go-to app. It used to be called, mm-hmm. what did it used to be called?
Uh-oh. Overdrive.
Overdrive, thank you. Oh, yeah. See, you're younger than me. I have that CRS disease.
No, it's mostly just that I've been checking ebooks out of my library for a really long time because I am really good at going to the library and checking out a bunch of things and then absolutely forgetting to return them on time. So my favorite thing about
Libby, because Libby, it doesn't make you, yeah.
They just time bomb.
It returns them automatically.
There's a time bomb and it just goes, your book's been returned. Like, you don't get a say in it. So.
No, but if you have the alerts turned on,
yeah, right,
it'll tell you in 3 days your book will be due and will be, you know, yeah, returned.
Yeah, it'll
and
tell you.
You can renew at once if there's not a wait list.
Right, if there's not a wait list. And I've been
at the end, like the second or third day from the mm-hmm. end. You can't do it sooner.
Yeah.
But it'll let you know that that's going to happen. This book's yeah. going to disappear from your device mm-hmm. in 3 days.
But then it happens and like you don't have to do anything for that to happen. So it's very handy. And you don't
pay anything. Right.
And the other night, so the thing that goes along nicely with that is, first of all, I've read a couple of articles over the last year about how a lot of libraries who weren't necessarily doing a lot with like ebooks and audiobooks are now. Particularly as people can't get there. And so making them available online is a nice option. So there's a lot of places that have adopted Libby in the last year that didn't have it already. And the
check
second
this out. Austin, which isn't a big city. Uh-huh. I have 110,000 books now and uh-huh. 50,000 audiobooks. And I think a lot of cities have much bigger library systems than Austin. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's, when I first started, they only had a few thousand books mm-hmm. and very few audiobooks.
Yep.
But they've been adding on and on. The great thing about checking out stuff in Libby is when you, if you try to check out a book you've already read, mm-hmm. it knows. It says it returned yeah. on this date, and you go, oh, I read that. And I read a lot of series books. So like yeah. one series is up to like the 57th book.
Oh, geez.
And I have a hard time remembering which yeah. ones I've read, but mm-hmm. Libby keeps track of it. Yeah. And I've tried to keep track of it offline. You know, it's like I yeah. tried to keep a database. I used to have an app that let me scan the ISBN number and the code uh-huh. and store, what was that called? Delicious Library. I really did try hard to yeah. keep track of these things, but Libby does it for me for free. I love mm-hmm. you, Libby. I love you.
And the other nice thing about Libby is that aside from a lot of libraries over the last year adopting ebooks and audiobooks as checkoutable options, is that a lot of libraries have also made it possible to apply for a library card online. So if you didn't have one before, you don't have to go in to get one if you're still in a place where that's not a thing. So that's part of why I wanted to point it out, is because like if you're like, oh, I don't have a library card, I'm out of luck, like you may not be. And the footnote to all of this is that your library might also have a lot of other awesome stuff for free. And so you should go check it out.
I have one last great feature.
Yes.
If you have more than one device, mm-hmm. Libby will synchronize your reading position between them. And I have an iPhone and an iPad. Mm-hmm. I try to read on the iPad, but a lot of times it's not with me. And I think, well, I could see, you know, I'm waiting for something. I could read a chapter or two here on my iPhone. Mm-hmm. And when I get back to the iPad, it knows that I read a chapter or two yeah. chapters and opens right to the right place. It's mm-hmm. so
very much like a Kindle.
I'm going to say it again. Yep. I'm going to say it again. But Kindle is a for pay ecosystem. I love you, Libby. Will you well, come and stay with me forever?
I have. When I check stuff out from the library, I do have an option to check out a Kindle book. Check it out as a Kindle option, and then I can read it in the Kindle app. But it works, the Libby app works the same as the Kindle app does. Like, if you have it installed on more than one device, pick it up here, read a few pages, put it down, pick up the other one, and it knows where you left off on the first one. So it just shows you where you continued reading. It's great.
At least for my library, most of the stuff is available in either Kindle or Libby.
Uh-huh.
So you can read it in your Kindle, on your Kindle, if you have a Kindle, or in the Kindle app on an iDevice, if you prefer that reading experience. Yeah. I happen to like the Libby reading experience, so yeah. I just read it in Libby. But you can choose to check out the
you get
Kindle
an option.
Version of a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, you get an option when you go to check things out, if there's a Kindle version or not. And generally, libraries are receptive to requests. So, you know, if you're Bob and you're reading book 57 of the series and you know book 58 is coming and they don't have anything for it yet, you can request, like if it's out already, and you know, you can send requests to your library. Usually they don't 100% of the time get it, but there's usually an option for like, I would like for you to add this to the library so I can read it.
And Libby has its own built-in wait list. So if something is checked out and you want it, you can put yourself on the wait list and it will automatically check itself into your account and tell you when it's available.
Great stuff. Yeah. And definitely, again, do all of that before you head out, wherever it is you're headed to. Make sure those things are all lined up ahead of time, which is how we started. We kind of fell down the ebook rabbit hole, but we'll get there. So, Bob, as always,
we both love Libby so much. I mean, really, whole excuse for that column was to make sure people knew about Libby.
Yeah.
And other stuff was frosting on the cake.
Yeah. So definitely, much like the episode I did with Dave last week, where we talked about getting all your other stuff ready for travel, you know, dust off those batteries and make sure you have a USB-C cable for all the USB-C stuff you own now and in your backpack and that sort of stuff. This goes right along with that. Like once you get all your hardware sort of in order, this is the software piece of it. Make sure you have nice stuff for when you get on a plane. Make sure that you've got like enough things to listen to and enjoy. So yeah, that'll be good. If you have tips for us, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. Bob, as always, thank you for spending your Thursday with me.
For having me. It's always a pleasure.
And I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.